You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, it's already inexplicably into the second hour. I'm not sure how that happens, but it's Friday, so we're all looking forward to 5 o'clock. We'll get there pretty quick at this rate. You know, I say that as if the clock just went faster, but it feels like it did, Boomer. I don't know.
It feels that way.
It just is.
Yes.
Enough of that. We're wishing the clock was going faster. But not that we're not enjoying our time with you and about to enjoy our time with Stephanie Smith. So Stephanie Smith, a frequent flyer here on the show, comes on generally on Fridays. She has been recently appointed as the president of the Alabama Policy Institute, where I was proud to do work for a number of years. They do great conservative policy. And I just saw a picture of her the other day in a press conference down yonder in Montgomery, which means that she is in the thick of things. Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil. Happy Friday. I like that. That's really cute.
Well, thank you. I'm pretty sure I stole that from my daughter, but yeah, it's.
Oh, that's even better. I like it better now. That's even better. I like it. That's cute.
Super so cute. You guys have been busy, right? You had reception time down there in Montgomery, did a press conference, did a whole bunch of stuff. How are things?
We did. It was a good week at API. Lots of work being done on legislation, lots of work, lots of phone calls, lots of questions on what kind of API's stance is on things and some background information on some other things. And then also the big moment that's kind of been, I mean, for years in the making for API, but at least a year in the making for me specifically, working on this piece of legislation called the PRICE Act, which is school choice, basically Alabama's version of school choice, that I've been working alongside a coalition of folks to put together for the better part of the year.
By the way, we're going to talk about the PRICE Act in more detail in a second, but I got to tell you, did you see just today, I think it was, that State Superintendent of Education Eric Mackey came out saying some pretty negative things about the idea of passing school choice?
Yeah, that's pretty unsurprising. It was just waiting for that shoe to drop because it's very clearly, even last year when there was a different version of school choice being debated and for years prior, what ends up happening is that the powers that be, which I usually call educrats, and I don't even mean that necessarily like as a negative, it's just who they are, which is education bureaucrats or people who work for some sort of organization or specifically for the government in education, it's a turf war. You know, they see this as a turf war instead of a freedom issue, and that's really frustrating, I think, to a lot of Alabamians with kids in school because it's not supposed to be an adversarial situation, and it's really supposed to be about the kids, not about the money.
No, absolutely right, and that's where they lose sight because they're so entrenched in the idea of save the system, do the things for the system. What does the system want? That they lose sight of the fact the system only exists for the kids, period.
That's right. I mean, if not for educating children, what is the purpose of children's education, right? So the frustrating thing is watching this unfold in years prior, and I guess cynically made the assumption it would happen again, and it is that, you know, it becomes this us versus them, and us is us, right? And them is them. We're, parents are, the ultimate authority for their own children. And the parents are the ones who should be able to make decisions about how their kids are educated. And we've created this system, and I'm not anti-public education. I'm a public school kid, all the way through graduate school, public school.
Yep.
And so I'm not anti-public education at all. I've benefited from it. But there are situations where people need an opt-out, there are personal situations, there are academic situations, there are social situations, and then there are also ideological situations that people need an opt-out from what the public school system is offering. And the frustrating thing is that there just doesn't even seem to be an understanding from the educrats in Montgomery that anybody would need that. And not only that, there's a question in their minds that they will flatly say out loud, which is they don't trust parents with their own children.
Well,
and that's a real problem.
It's absolutely a problem. So let me ask you this. The educrats aside, what really matters right now is the votes in the House and the Senate.
Right.
What is your sense? I mean, right now the bill just got introduced, but everybody knew it was coming. It wasn't like it was a brand new, you know, topic. School choice is polling higher than ever this year. But what are the what are you hearing from members of the House and Senate? What's the sentiment you're perceiving at this point?
Yeah, the sentiment has shifted some to the side of school choice. I think that's for a couple of reasons. One is that, you know, with COVID, everybody was looking over their shoulder over the shoulder of their child and seeing what they're actually learning, and some people were pretty alarmed. Secondarily, there are a multitude of states who are tackling this issue right now.
Yeah.
They're falling like dominoes. Arkansas just passed it. Iowa just passed it. Arizona just passed it. West Virginia previously passed it. Florida passed it again, another expansion of their program. And so, you know, what API is trying to do is educate legislators and educate the public about what this means. What does school choice even mean? And then what are other states doing? What are other states doing that worked? What are other states doing that didn't work? How can we learn from other people's mistakes? And then we've crafted this piece of legislation that's intentionally a financial transaction so that there are no tentacles. And the idea behind it is parents need to be able to choose every year for every one of their children the best place for that child for that year. And that should include using some of their tax dollars in order to send them to a private school, send them to another public school, or to homeschool them if that's what they think is best for their child that year.
Okay, so let me ask you this. In the states that are already doing it, has the public school system crashed and burned and like, you know, it's no longer viable and the end of the world has come in terms of public education?
In zero of the states, public schools have crashed and burned. And in 100% of the states that have done school choice thus far, public education has actually improved because of what you and I know intrinsically, which is competition is good.
Yeah.
And when there is competition, then all of the boats rise with that tide. And also, there's this other just really foundational piece that I know I keep harping on, but when you hand parents the agency back on how to educate their kids, it makes things happen and to the positive for parents and for kids. And again, that's not to say that parents are adversarial to even their own public school system. The percentages are really interesting. I didn't realize this until I really got knee-deep in this, which is, you know, of all of these school choice initiatives across the nation that have been around, you know, now for, I mean, debatable how long they've been around, but really taking off in the last 15, 20 years, about 2 to 5% annually take advantage of the choice.
Yeah. It's not,
and so
nobody, not, the entire population doesn't walk out of the entire, all the public schools. You're right. Exactly right. Well, let me ask you this.
There's Chicken Little feeling, and this guy hasn't fallen anywhere else. So I'm not sure why it would fall here in Alabama.
It won't. It won't at all. But we still got to get past the mentality that it could. And so let me ask you this. With about 3.5 minutes left here, now I've had the two bill sponsors. The House sponsor is State Representative Ernie Yarbrough. The Senate sponsor is State Senator Larry Stutz. I've had them both on the show, but that was prior to the bill being dropped in. So So kind of bullet point us through the contents of the bill, what it does, and let us know if there's been any revisions since we may have talked to them a few weeks ago.
The bill is materially the same as when you talked to them a couple of weeks ago. There have been some minor tweaks about, you know, the internal financials of, you know, how we're calculating numbers and things like that. But the basic gist of it is this. If you have a child that is school age, you would receive a $7,000 ESA, which is educational savings account, if you decide that you want one. That savings account wouldn't be a debit card, wouldn't be cash in your pocket. It would be administered by the Department of Revenue. And what would happen is that that dollar amount would be basically reserved for your child for you to use in any purpose you saw fit for their education that year. Now, that's not to say it's a free-for-all. We're not handing people, you know, a $7,000 debit card for them to go learn about the beach in the Bahamas. That's not what this is. I know. There are specific things that you have to spend the money on. Now, it is broad, and it's intentionally broad, because some kids need other things than other kids need. And so things like speech pathology fees are included. So if your child needs a tutor, that would be included. Tuition, obviously, at private schools, curriculum and books, and things that you need, devices and things that you need in order to homeschool are on the list. But all of that would be
private schools
by
allowed?
The Department of Revenue on an annual basis.
And private schools are allowed?
Yes, this would be public to public, public to private, and public or private to home. So it's a situation where within 3 years, every single student in the state of Alabama would be able to use this as an option annually for whatever purpose they needed for their education.
Got about a minute left. Let me ask you this. I had one of my conservative listeners, and she's fairly conservative, but she's very ardent. I mean, she's adamantly opposed to this bill because she swears it's a way for them to turn off the tap. If you don't do what the government wants, they could turn off the funds. I told her no. I felt like it was a contract between the individual and the state, and they would not be able to do that because we're constitutionally mandated to allow for an education to take place.
Yeah, that's right. And it's one of those, I understand the fear. I'm a mom, too. I have six kids. In this age group, and I've been outside of the public system the entire time. And so I get the fear, but it's unfounded. This is an annual contract. It's not a lifetime agreement. And there's the fear of new strings being attached are always there. New strings could be attached on anything at any time. That's the legislative process. But this bill specifically says eight different times that this is a financial transaction. This doesn't change any homeschool laws. This doesn't change any private school laws. This doesn't change any sort of high school athletic association laws. All of those laws are in place. This is specifically a financial transaction on an annual basis. The end.
All right. And I'm running long, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What about testing of private schools? Are they going to mandate that they have to be certified under a public school system process?
This bill specifically says no.
Okay.
Because what it says is that all of the current laws for private schools, parochial schools, Christian schools, any charter schools, all of those laws stay in place.
Okay.
And so because we don't have testing or accreditation laws for those now, well, they do for charter schools because those are actually public schools. But for the ones outside of the public school system, there is no testing or accreditation necessary. Then those laws stay the same.
Well, my friend, I ran long on purpose because that was an action-packed discussion. But listen, we're gonna stay on top of this, and my listeners are on top of it, and we want you to keep us posted. If we need to have you jump in the middle of a week sometime to update us on something, you do it. All right.
Happy to.
All right.
Thanks for having me, Phil.
Thanks, Stephanie. That's Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, on top of this thing. She was down there. Go ahead and take us to the break, Boomer. She was down there just the other day for the announcement of the introduction of the Price Act. It is the Cadillac version of school choice. It's, in my opinion, it's what Alabama needs. And she was down there standing alongside Becky Gerritsen from Eagle Forum and legislators and other members of the conservative community saying, this is the way. And I'm telling you, we need to push this, folks. Get behind it. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, tell you what, we got very little time, so I see I got a caller on the line. I'll jump on it real quick. Boomer, let me grab line one, Alan from Hartsell. Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind?
I'd like to see a course called Basic Survival Skills. These kids in high school.
Yeah.
All young men to take basic home ec skills, you know, like that fun stuff, cooking, cleaning the house, washing clothes, things like that.
Yeah,
and young ladies to have basic mechanical skills, you know, checking oil, changing the tire, stuff like that.
So and then we used to do those back in the day.
During that same semester, let's throw in basic accounting, like bookkeeping, checkbook balance and stuff like that.
Well, I
know some young men and young ladies wouldn't like that, but it would help them in the long run.
Well, I don't know if you heard it or not, but there's a bill right now in the legislature to require a class on what they call financial literacy, how to balance your checkbook, what it means to take out a loan, all those kind of things being put in. So you want to basically bring back home ec, shop class, and add financial literacy and call it all what? Life skills, I guess, right?
I would call it life skills.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a lot of young guys getting out of school say, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to live in an apartment. Well, you run down here to a local hamburger place or something like that, that's fine. But it's going to cost you an arm and a leg to survive.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So, let's teach them something in high school that maybe, I get a girlfriend to do that. No, you're not going to always have somebody to do that.
Get your girlfriend to do that. It's not the answer for life. Alan.
But anyway.
Hey, thanks for the call,
what
Alan.
I'm getting at.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for calling in. I got a bunch of textures that I don't know if how much can I get to here? You got another caller on the line, Boomer?
Oh, no, not another caller. But Jenny is a new texter on the line.
Yeah.
She actually asked, would those already in private school be eligible for the ESA voucher, or you must be eligible only if you leave a public school?
Yes, you would. You would be eligible. If you are already in a private school, it could then become something you're able to receive that for that you're not receiving now. I will say this, private schools have to basically apply to the state because there's all the usual paperwork to be, and not the state has to certify you per se. They're not going to come in and go, okay, now we've got you, private school. They're not going to do that. What they're saying is you have to enroll in the program. You can't just be a fly-by-night school that goes, yeah, me and my brother, we got a school, yeah. No, it's not going to work that way.
Hey,
but,
I'm starting a school today.
Yeah, just me and you, buddy. We got the Phil and Boomer School of Higher Education. But so to answer her question, my understanding is yes. If you are already in a private school, you would now suddenly be able to apply if indeed your school was participating by being a recipient of state funds for the Price Act. Anyway, more to come on this. I think it's a good one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back with State Representative Susan DeBose.